From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. A few weeks ago, we got news of something big. Perhaps. If it was a sound, it might have sounded something like this. That is an approximation of what a testing 1-2-3 we're here signal from another advanced technological civilization might sound like. And it was recently discovered that a super powerful Russian radio telescope caught wind of this kind of signal a year ago and didn't tell anyone about it for a year. That's had a lot of astronomers and other experts debating the event in recent days. Seth Shostak is senior astronomer at the privately funded Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI, Institute. He made the sound we played you a second ago. Seth, tell me what was detected and when.
Well, indeed. It seems that in the spring of 2015, so more than a year ago, the Russians, using a big antenna at the foot of the Caucasus called the Rattan 600, and they've been pointing this in the direction of some nearby stars, trying to pick something up. They pointed in the direction of HD 164595, a very melodious sounding name for a star. That star is actually not so far away. It's only about 95 light years, which in astronomy is not considered very far. It's even known to have a planet. And they picked up a signal, but they only picked it up once, and they tried 39 times. We immediately went to our antennas. We did not find the signal. There was a group at the University of California at Berkeley. They tried. They didn't find the signal. The Russians never told anybody about this. And that, I think, is a very good indication that they themselves were somewhat skeptical that it was really coming from ET.
Can you describe the characteristics of the signal that made it potentially interesting here?
All it was is that when they pointed the antenna in the direction of this star system, they picked up some radio energy that meant it was a transmitter in that direction. That's all we know. But the problem is, if you have big antennas, you point them at the sky, you got a very sophisticated receiver, you pick up signals all the time because there are satellites orbiting the Earth that are sending down signals for whatever purpose.
Would you say that we are there in terms of the technology we really need to detect whether or not there is life out there, at least from planet Earth?
I think we are. I've bet everybody a cup of Starbucks that we'll find ET within 2 dozen years. So I'm
really? I'm very optimistic, sir.
I think that may happen if we get the funding. Funding is the big issue. But if we have the funding, then in the next 2 dozen years, we can look at about 1 million star systems. I feel that if you look at 1 million, the chances of success are not too bad. It's like buying 1 million lottery tickets. They're probably not all going to be losers.
Well, he's optimistic. Seth Shostak is senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. Seth, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You know what time it is. This week, I happen to be downtown visiting the offices of Business Insider. Senior Business Insider tech and gaming correspondent Ben Gilbert was in the house, so we sat down for some Silicon Tally.
Ben, are you ready for a kind of battle of the Bens here? Are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I have never been more ready, Ben.
All right. 238 miles.
I don't know. You've stumped me already.
This is the average range of GM's new electric car, the Chevy Bolt.
Ah, that's a good range. That's about the range of a gasoline car.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah.
It's the first car that can go beyond 200 miles that costs less than 40 grand. It'll be priced at around $37,500 when it's out later this year. We both live in New York City, but would you own an electric car?
Yeah, in a heartbeat. They're super fun to drive, as it turns out. There's no like waiting for a motor to spin up, so it's just immediately fast, even when they're inexpensive, and that's amazing.
Okay, what do you got for me?
Ninth generation.
I mean, the iPhone 7, I'm going to guess that's seventh generation, but maybe I'm getting it wrong.
No, we are talking about the iPhone, actually.
Okay, I was wondering. It's tricky, right?
Because
there's a couple half numbers there, and yeah.
Right, they have S years, right? So they have these kind of half-step iPhones.
The S years.
So they call it the iPhone 7. It's really the iPhone 9. Don't believe their lies.
All right, hit me.
20 cameras, and the hint is that they are attached to a car.
Oh, 20 cameras on Uber's new self-driving car that's being rolled out quite literally in Pittsburgh this week.
Correct, Mundo. It's
yes.
It's a small group of people that are being invited by Uber to try their new self-driving car service.
Open to the public-ish.
Exactly, right? Like, you have to be in a certain part of Pittsburgh. You have to be somebody who uses Uber a lot. it's, I think, near the kind of Carnegie Mellon area in downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing that's happening in this test market, a bizarre one. Not New York, not San Francisco, but Pittsburgh.
All right, 287,176,547 streams.
Pandora streams ever done?
You're getting close. You're getting warm, almost like it's hot in here.
Oh, you're talking about Nelly?
Yes, I am. This is the number of streams Nelly needs to get out from under his tax bill. Spin Magazine did the math. Spotify recently said that the max payout for artists per stream is around 0.008. So the folks on Twitter caught hold of this and, of course, have been making eight-hour-long playlists of Hot in Here to help Nelly out.
Of course. I've seen people commenting on this, you know, that it powered their middle school dances and they feel like they owe something to Nelly. I appreciate that.
It makes sense somehow. Okay, Ben Gilbert, he is senior correspondent at Business Insider. Ben, thanks for playing Silicon Valley with me.
Thank you.
Quickly, while we are talking about streaming, Pandora launched a new version of its $5 a month service called Pandora Plus this week. Also, upgrades to its free service. There is also a new predictive offline mode that switches to pre-saved songs when you lose connectivity, using recent listening activity to inform that playlist. The streaming wars ain't over. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ, and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.